This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech, bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Nothing really going on today, I guess.
No.
Pretty slow day.
Very slow day in the sports
world. Yeah, I don't know what we'll find to talk about. Volleyball starts on Monday, cross country's today.
We could preview curling for the upcoming Olympics if you wanted.
Well, yes, that right there.
That's what we need to focus on.
Is a good call. Welcome to Sports Saturday. The regular season for football is in the books, and it's going to be an interesting day here for the IHSA. Of course, you know, dealing with the strike going on up in Chicago. They got looming weather today. It's certainly around the area here as there's still some games scheduled to get played. What happens if lightning becomes a factor and the games today can't get played? I don't know. No one's been able to give me an answer on that. So that is a potential issue. And, of course, with the strike going on in Chicago, that has kind of thrown a wrench into the workings of the postseason. Because normally by today it's pretty cut and dry what you have. We have the updated playoff list from the IHSA. 194 teams have clinched as of right now, so 62 spots remaining for those five-win teams. And as I kind of counted and look at it, we're looking at the lowest playoff point total since 2003. It could wind up as low as 24, maybe as high as 29 as I look at the projections. You got several teams in the Chicago area that had their last game canceled because of the strike. So obviously that is a big problem. One team up in the Chicagoland area will be playing today. That'll be Chicago Marist. They're 4-4. If they win, they have 55 playoff points right now. So they would be in. So we'll talk about that here as the hour moves along. Then, of course, the road to DeKalb tonight, our playoff preview show, 8 o'clock. Here on FM 106, and a man who doesn't have to worry about math or numbers because this team is in. The Carlinville Cavaliers picked up win number 6 last night, and Chad Easterday joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing good always. This is just a great day if you're a high school football fan. And I guess, Chad, from your perspective, boy, it's nice to know you're in. They can't keep you out.
Yeah, you know, those are, you know, I've talked over the years, that's such an advantage of a closed conference. And, you know, Roxanne is sitting there at 5-4, and historically has been it. That never has happened. So being 6-3 guarantees us that. So it's been a nice 5 weeks. We know we got our turn back around, and very proud of our program and our kids.
Talk about the process, Chad, because you're sitting at 1-3. I never sensed panic with you or within the program. You guys knew that the first part of your schedule, you played 4 playoff teams the first 4 weeks, so you knew that if you got things corrected, as you said, and played Carlinville football, this was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the 1-3 start was not on the pre-agenda when the season started, but, you know, we knew the schedule was, I mean, obviously top-loaded for us. You know, our goal was obviously coming out of there with a winning record, and that didn't happen, and you know, you said it best. There's no reason to panic. You got 5 weeks to go, and we had to stay the course, so to speak. And those things happened, and we're just sitting where we are, and we wait. You know, this is one of the worst days for me because there's no film to watch. There's nothing to prep. A bunch of guessing games that I refuse to do. So I'm out on all that stuff.
Yeah, you're in no man's land, then. You're trapped. What was the mood of your club last night after the win at Litchfield? As you said, 5-4, close conference, you're going to get in. But to get 6-3 sounds a heck of a lot better than 5-4. What was the mood of the kids?
Yeah, the mood was great. You know, we talked about being 5-4 and 6-3 throughout the last 5 weeks. And, you know, there is a difference. It's no difference in talking about it. We've talked about this of 9-0 and 8-1. You know, if you're 5-4, you're going to get a 9-0. That's just how it works. And, you know, being 6-3 and hopefully a coin flip or a, whatever the IHSA wants to call a random number draw and whatever that seems to be that no one can define. But, you know, that those things help your probability. And, you know, we got that done. That was the focus all week, taking nothing away from Litchfield. But that was the focus and seeing if we could be in that middle of that 7, 8, 9, 10 seed so that we can be that somebody's worst nightmare. And hopefully we can do that.
Jed, the goal, obviously, of every team and every coach, no matter the sport, is to be playing your best ball at postseason time. And I would suspect that you have that feeling with your team right now that you guys are really peaking at the perfect moment.
Yeah, of all the years that I've done this, you know, the last couple of years we've peaked at the right times, and you are correct. I mean, we got things moving in all the right directions, and personnel-wise, and we've been very fortunate. We've had a few injuries, and we've been kids have stepped into those roles, and it's worked out for us.
Chad, we always appreciate your time throughout the season, sir. And, hey, we'll talk to you tonight on the road to DeKalb. We'll find out where you're going.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers. And the South Central Conference will be very well represented in the postseason. Vandalia, your conference champs, they go 9-0 this year. Greenville finishes 7-2. Pena goes 8-1 in league play. Carthenville, of course, at 6-3. Then Roxana at 5-4. And Roxana's, they're squarely, and they got 40 playoff points. They don't have anything to worry about today. On the Sangamo Conference front, Williamsville, your conference champ at 9-0. Murrow Forsyth goes 8-1. Athens finishes 7-2. Auburn goes 6-3. North Mac, with the win last night, finishes 5-4. They are squarely, and they also have 40 playoff points. And you heard Chad allude to it, and it's, if you're 5-4 in a close conference, you're golden. Nothing to worry about. He didn't seem to remember it. I don't ever remember a 5-4 team in a closed conference being left out of the postseason draw. So Roxana and North Mac get in at 5-4. Bree Central had to win last night to get in, and they did it. Beat Harris. They're 5-4, and they have 43 playoff points, so they're soundly in. Brown County and the WIVC, they will be in along with Minden Unity. Brown County finishes with 42 playoff points. Minden Unity has 40 playoff points. Taylorville, they were in a situation last night at 5-3 where they needed the win to guarantee a spot. They did not get the win. Civic Memorial beat them 42-6, but the Tornadoes appear to be squarely in with 37 playoff points. You've got North Green sitting at 5-4. They've got 36 playoff points, and Redbud at 5-4 has 34 playoff points. And as I look at it, 34 points is going to get you in this year. Looks like 29 playoff points could potentially get you in this year. And that 2003 is where I had to go back to find a lower total of 32. Last year it took 38 points to get in. 2017 it was 39 playoff points. 2016, 37 points. 2015, 35 playoff points. And 2014, 39 playoff points. So the total is lower this year as it has been in years past. Well, with week 9 in the books for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, that means the 2019 season has come to a close at 1-8, and head coach Aaron Duff joins us on the phone right now. And Duffy, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. And it was a rough year in terms of the record, but just talk to me about the character of your kids, because there was never any quit in them.
No, our kids did a great job all year with their attitude and gave us everything they got. Yeah, you know, 1-8 is not where I wanted to be or where our kids wanted to be, but we did a lot of good work. We improved a lot. We moved the football on some very good football teams at times and games, you know, competed. And the good thing is, you know, I hate to see our seniors go, but one positive thing is we got almost everybody back for next year. So, and in our younger levels did a nice job this year. So, you know, we're looking forward to the next year.
Duffy, that is always the delicate balance for you. You know, you're talking about next year. We knew we had a lot of talent coming back for the Toppers. But that doesn't do your seniors this year any good at all. So talk about that group and all they put into your program over their 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, we got a group of guys that, you know, do all the summer stuff for you every year and, you know, put all the time into it. It's hard to be thinking about next year. And, you know, you want to still be with your seniors. And we talked about that last night and talked about, you know, our younger guys. Hey, play for these guys because you're going to be in their spot, you know, in the near future. It's going to go fast. All of our seniors did a great job, all 4 years for us. Hate to see them go. You know, we still got, we'll have our banquet and all that. Still talk about them and, just really love our guys and everything they gave for us.
And when you have a season like you guys did record wise, it has to be tough, I would imagine, to keep the attitude up, to not get down, to not get discouraged. So as this season was going along, I know you know, Rich Stewart disciple, you guys have always talked about life lessons. And, you know, sometimes life just kicks you right in the head and it don't go well. And it's how you bounce back from those types of adversities and challenges.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned a lot that adversity reveals character. And you learn from adversity and what things go on. And you know, as a coach, I try to connect that to life lessons. Hey, everything's not going to go good for you. You got to learn how to react to it, how to get through it. And our kids did a great job. I'm telling you, we were 1-8, but I was very happy with every practice this year. Kids came out. We had fun at practice. We worked hard. And the good thing is, like I said, we saw a lot of improvement. So I'm very proud of our kids. I wouldn't take another team over them with what they gave us.
I've always gotten the sense from your groups over the years, these kids, not that they wouldn't play hard for anybody, but they're going to run through a wall for you.
Well, I hope so, because I'll do the same for them. You know, I love football. I love our guys. I came back to Hillsboro, my hometown, because I love our town and our high school. So us as a coaching staff, like, you know, we put everything into it, and we just love our guys.
Now your coaching hat goes off and your AD cap goes on full time.
Yeah, it was a lot busier this year. you know, supervising other games, some late nights here and there. But, you know, as the AD stuff goes, that's another thing. I love all of our sports. I love to see Hillsboro succeed at anything, doesn't matter. You know, so there's people out there saying, oh, the football coach doesn't like soccer. Well, Coach Burke does a great job with our soccer program. We had our guys went 9-0. I'm excited for them. That makes our whole sports programs better. So I'm for everything.
Topper pride. Duffy, class act, my man. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach and athletic director for Hillsboro. So, again, the Road to DeKalb coming up tonight, 8 o'clock on FM 106, and it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. We'll take a break. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, counting down the hours, the Road to DeKalb, 8 o'clock tonight, our playoff preview show. They'll start releasing the pairings right out of the gate, the 1A pairings scheduled to go at 8:03. Then they stagger them right around every 10 minutes after that. So we will have the pairings, we'll know the assignments, all that good stuff. We'll talk to our playoff-bound coaches tonight on the Road to DeKalb here on WSMI FM 106. We'll be talking, of course, to Chad East today. We'll talk to Pat Bowman. We'll talk to Paul Watson. We're going to talk to Dave Bates. We're going to talk to Aaron Coots of Williamsville, catch up with Todd Hutchinson of Greenville. So we'll have a good time tonight on the Road to DeKalb, 8 o'clock here on FM 106. In the South Central Conference last night, the old Macoupin County rivalry, Gillespie beat Staunton 39-24. It was quite the ball game. Back and forth, the teams win at one point. Six straight touchdowns resulted in lead changes. The difference, Gillespie took the lead and recovered an onside kick, scored there, and ended up winning 39-24. Carlinville over Litchfield 68-6. Vandalia beat Greenville to claim the outright South Central Conference Championship 45-7, the final there. Pena beat Hillsboro 61-14. Roxana over Southwestern 42-0. So playoff bound out of the South Central Conference. Vandalia at 9-0. Pena at 8-1. Greenville at 7-2. Carlinville at 6-3. Roxana at 5-4. In the Sangamo last night, North Mac played on their turf field for the first time. They beat Riverton 55-0. Aurora Forsyth over Auburn 28-14. Athens beat New Berlin 42-32. The Pretzels had the win to get in, and they could not get it done against a very good Athens squad. Williamsville rolled over Porta 51-15, and Plains topped Pittsfield 55-20. So in the Sangamo Conference, Williamsville, the champions, the top-ranked team in 3A. Maroa Forsyth finishes 8-1. Athens goes 7-2. Auburn at 6-3, and North Mac at 5-4, all playoff bound. In the Prairie State last night, just one game. It was Dupo over Madison, 54-50. Nokomis and Marquette both play today, and they will be the only Prairie State Conference teams in. Nokomis 6-2 right now. Marquette, your conference champions, they're 4-4, but they went undefeated thus far in the Prairie State Conference. Joining us on the phone right now is Gillespie Miners head coach Jacob Bilbrook. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, boy, the first Saturday after the season is over, I'm sure it's kind of a sad day.
Yeah, it is. You know, like I said last week, you know, those conversations never get easier with those seniors. And, you know, I had to tell the guys last night that even though we were short of our goals, it was nice to go out on top. And, you know, especially for the seniors, they were pumped up about it because, you know, they had lost the song 2 years in a row, so I think they felt pretty good about it last night. And, you know, just gave us an opportunity to walk through those handshake lines and, you know, give them a big hug and tell them thanks for everything they've done for us. And, you know, I think the younger guys saw that, and, you know, they're already chomping at the bit for next year.
Jake, obviously you want to make the playoffs. That's the goal. But unless you play for the state championship, you never know when it's your last game until it's over. So for your group and specifically your seniors going into the game last night, they knew this is it, and they seemed to really play with their hair on fire.
Yeah, you're right, and that's something we tell kids, you know, every day. You know, you don't know when it's going to be your last game. You don't know when, you know, it could be injury, it could be, you know, something else that happens that takes you out of the game. And, you know, but, yeah, I thought that the seniors carried themselves pretty well last night, and you know, they kept it loose, they kept it fun. You know, there wasn't any pouting about, you know, not making season goals. You know, I know they're disappointed about it, but you know, last night was pretty important to them, and I'm glad that we got to go out on top.
A couple things stood out to me in that game last night. Late, you know, we're into the final minute. You know, this is going to be it. Billy Gill busts off a couple of long runs and gets a touchdown, and then Tom Johnson gets to blow somebody up on his last play. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know, coaching staff was kind of kicking ourselves a little bit this morning for, you know, in those situations, you want to give every single senior an opportunity to get a touchdown and touch the ball at their last game. And you know, we probably got a little too cute there at the end, trying to do some things that we don't normally do, trying to get guys the ball. And, but, yeah, you can't say enough about those two plays right there that you just mentioned. And, you know, two great plays from two great players, and we're sure going to miss them.
And, you know, Frankie Barrett, Anthony Cravagna, these are two young men. Boy, they gave a lot to your program over the years.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I'm glad that they were able to throw the ball a little bit and connect a couple times. And, you know, that's something that they'll always remember. They were talking about it after the game about, you know, certain things that stood out and they'll remember for the rest of their life. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's about building character. It's about building these memories for these kids. And, you know, yeah, I'm just thrilled to death that the guys stuck with it, and they, you know, they made the decision to go out on top, and that's what we did.
Jake, we appreciate your time throughout the season, sir. Thank you so much. And, well, I'd say enjoy the off season, but I don't know that you will.
Well, I appreciate all the coverage that you guys do for us. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be a long off season here, but, you know, back to work for the Miners. We're gonna see what we can do. You get better. I mean, we're 4-5 the last 2 years, so I know the kids are hungry, and I know these seniors left us in a good spot, but, you know, like I said, we'll see what we can do for next year, and appreciate all the things you guys do for us as well.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And, yeah, it's, you've heard Aaron Duff talk about it, Jake Bilbrook talk about it. It's the rough side to coaching, and it's the side of coaching that, you know, us as fans or, you know, people who cover teams, we don't see that inside the locker room those, you know, I'm sure tears are shed. That's just how it works when you come to the realization it's over. You know, like, it's always tough no matter the sport you play, but you can always go out and play a pickup game of basketball. You know, you can go out, get a baseball game going together, whether it be a beer league softball whenever you get older, whatever, you know. Golf you can play your whole life. Tennis you can play basically your whole life. But organized football, it's a very small window. You know, 4 years of high school for a very, very select few, you get to go on and play in college. But when your high school football career is over, you're never going to play football the same way again. And so, man, emotions run high. It's such a fast season. Not every team makes the playoffs. That's part of what makes it great. You got to earn your way in. And so when you come up short of your goals, like Coach Billbrook was alluding to, it's hard. It's hard. And, again, we don't see that side of it. You know, we see these players and coaches go out on Friday nights and compete and feel like we are invested in the team, like we are part of the team in a way. But we don't see the practice. We don't see the bus rides. We don't see the conversations in the locker rooms. And that, I've always said, that's what the team is. That's what these kids will remember. Sure, there'll be certain plays that stand out that they will remember. There always is games, plays that you never forget. But it's those moments in practice, in the locker room, on the bus to a game. That's what you really remember when you're, you know, 5 years out, 10 years out, 15 years removed from playing. So, you know, those are the types of memories. Nobody can take it from you. You know, there'll only be eight teams that end with a smile on their face this year. Everybody else is going to end disappointed, whether it was disappointment last night, disappointment next week, or every week down the road until Thanksgiving. That you line up, you compete, and you see what happens. But you've heard this morning Duffy and Billbrook both talk about their kids and how they've competed and how they invested so much. And I just always go back to what Terry Todd always said. It's about the kids. It's about nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. The kids. Did the kids have a good experience? Did the kids, are they able to say, you know what? I played ball and I had a good time. That's what it's all about. Everybody wants to win. Anybody who says they don't want to win, I don't think they're telling the truth. And anybody who claims, well, they don't want to win, that's just asinine. Everybody wants to win. Everybody's trying to win. Like they say in pro sports, the other team gets paid too. And as I sit here today thinking about the mess that's going on with the Chicago public school system and, you know, the cross-country teams up there not being allowed to run, some of these football teams not going to be allowed to play, let the kids play. Let them play. Let's not get in the way of ourselves here. Let's not overcomplicate it. The kids deserve the right to play. I want to see the kids have an opportunity to play. Strike or no strike, if they have earned the opportunity, let them play. So we'll see how that all works out. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Zach Ferguson. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And after the game last night, you had your team huddled up out there on the field, and you had a pretty good conversation with them. And I'm sure those are hard conversations for a coach to have, knowing that group, you'll never be together again like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you every year, every coach goes through that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, when the last game you play is, it's always a tough conversation to have because, you know, I've been around that was the first freshman class I've been around for 4 years here at Staunton. So, I mean, that's a special group to me, and, you know, I've known them for a long time, and, yeah, it's definitely a hard conversation to have.
And your seniors last night, you didn't win the game, but, man, you had some kids go out on a high note.
Yeah, I mean, we fought. We've had to overcome a few major injuries for us and, a few of our starters being out. We've kind of been shorthanded the last couple weeks, and some kids have stepped up, and, you know, I was happy that we competed, and, you know, we did some things very well, and, you know, just didn't make too many mistakes to win, but, you know, I was proud of our kids' effort, and, you know, the fact that they never quit, they kept playing hard, and, you know, they gave it all they had.
Kyle McCullough last night had himself a little bit of a ball game, Coach.
Yeah, he played, you know, he had a couple long runs for us, some big spots, you know, just basically using his athleticism. You know, they weren't plays designed to really, you know, bust it, just get us a first down, and then he used his athleticism to really break it open and, you know, had a great game, and his probably best game of the year. And, you know, that's something I'm proud of him with, because, yeah, he went out on a high note, and, you know, he executed and he made plays.
Coach, as I look at your roster, your sophomore class appears to be loaded with talent.
Yeah, I mean, next year we bring back 19 and 22 starters. We lose three seniors, obviously, and those are going to be big holes to fill. But, I mean, we bring back, I think we had seven or eight sophomores start this year as well as juniors. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to the future and, you know, getting a good offseason in with those younger guys and getting another year of development under their belt. But, you know, this experience this year is should pay off for a couple more years to come.
Every game that an underclassman can play, that is so beneficial for them moving into their junior and senior seasons.
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming into this year that, you know, when you lose 18 seniors last year that started for us, we knew we were going to have some growing pains, especially playing as many sophomores and juniors that we had that hadn't had any varsity experience. You know, we didn't win a lot of games, but we also looked at the fact that, you know, we were in some games that we, you know, we could have gone either way. But the fact that, yeah, they got exposed to the varsity game, and, you know, varsity is a lot quicker than, you know, freshman and JV games, and that should pay off dividends.
And sometimes when things get going bad, it's hard to get it stopped. You guys were 2-2. You lose your last five, but you were right there with Southwestern, and you were right there last night with Gillespie. And as Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record is. So you guys finished 2-7. But there was a chance there to be 4-5.
Yeah, I mean, we're a couple plays away in both those games from, you know, winning. We didn't do enough to win, and that's why I told the guys, you know, we got to learn how to overcome a couple of plays and a couple of bad situations. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, the Pirates game, you know, we're down 18-0, 12-0. You know, we come back and we ended up taking the lead in the game, and we just didn't do enough to keep it. And credit to Pirates on that, because, you know, they kept to their game plan, and, you know, they never faltered. And, you know, Gillespie is the same way, you know. We were down and we got the lead, and, you know, Gillespie had a couple big plays, and, you know, but, you know, that's kind of how high school football goes.
Yeah. Well, Coach, it looks like the Bulldogs will be bouncing back next year. We look forward to that. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Zach Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And, yeah, they got, as he said, 19 of their 22 starters will return for next year. So, good chance we could see Staunton a year from now getting set to see where they'll be going in the postseason. Now, of course, as I say that, I'm fully aware that's a long way away. A lot has to happen. You still got to go out. You got to play the games. Nothing is given, but the future is bright for the Staunton Bulldogs moving forward. Back to some scores from last night in the WIVC. It was North versus South. Greenfield Northwestern beat Brown County 14-7. So Greenfield Northwestern finishes at 7-2. They will be the conference representative for the WIVC South. Carrollton also finished 7-2. North Green at 5-4, 36 playoff points they should be in. Beardstown beat Carrollton 42-28, so Beardstown completes a 9-0 season. Camp Point Central over Pleasant Hill 50-0. Camp Point goes 8-1 on the year. West Central beat Triopia 19-6, and North Green beat Jacksonville Route 22-18. So the Spartans finish at 5-4. They have 36 playoff points, and as it looks right now, they will be in the postseason draw. We know North Maxon. They got their fifth win last night. They beat Riverton to open up that brand new turf field, 55-0. The final last night, and head coach Pat Bowman joins us on the phone right now. And coach, that's a good night.
No, we'll take it. Yeah, definitely was a good way to open up a new stadium.
And, of course, going in, you knew the situation. In a close conference, if we beat Riverton and get to five, we're going to be in, and you got 40 points, so you're golden.
Yes, we did, and that was our goal from day one. And the kids stepped up, and they knew what they had to do, and they got the job done last night.
Talk to us about this field. I know there was a freshman game there on Thursday. Worked the different kinks out, new scoreboard, video board, all those things. I wanted to make sure everything was flowing properly for the varsity of the game. But just kind of take us through the week from your perspective, Coach. You got to prepare your team to play the game, but you've also got to have your eyes on this field and see what's going on.
We did. We actually couldn't get on the field until Thursday night. So our first day was actually Thursday with the varsity guys. We came out, toured everything, and walked the field, see the new locker rooms, and hopefully get that excitement out of the way so we can get back to focusing on what we had to do on Friday, and they did a good job.
Now, the field is awesome, but the kids probably thought the locker rooms were pretty good, too.
It is, yeah. It's almost overwhelming when you walk out, and then you walk into that new locker room. It's like a small college atmosphere, and the kids were very appreciative, and they should be.
When kids see something like that, an investment made in them, essentially, boy, that has to – maybe it might be overwhelming in some ways for high school kids to see that.
Yeah, I know, and it's even overwhelming for adults. when we first came out, too, it almost puts you in a state of shock because it is that impressive. But they were, like I say, they're very appreciative, and they were and made the week nine game even more exciting. They knew they had to win, and you've got a new stadium, and you've got all your fans want to come see what you're going to do on this new place. So definitely a good week.
I want to ask potentially a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it because I don't know the answer. When you're playing on a turf field like that, do you use the same type of spikes you would use on a natural grass field?
You do now, yeah. The turf market has changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years. So, yeah, it's just regular cleats, just like grass now.
Does it play faster?
The kids say it does. You don't lose footing as much, and like I said, the surface is level everywhere, so they don't worry about getting tripped up on a clump of grass or something. It's like playing there in the living room at home.
And if your game would have been scheduled today, it would have put that turf to the test real quick with the rain.
It would, and that's what we're talking about, especially new turf. It's probably extremely slick. That is one thing about turf. When it does rain, it does get slick.
Patrick, as you look at your team now, obviously 5-4, you're going to the playoffs. What are you most proud of about your group this year?
The big thing is they've stayed focused no matter wins, losses, whatever. The kids come in every day with a smile on their face, ready to get to work. We got a pretty good group this year that are stick together. And one of our mottos is coming together as a family. And they've done a really good job, and I can't thank them enough for doing that for our program and sticking together with each other.
What's the plan tonight? Will you guys get together as a unit? What will you do?
We won't. We're being so late. I told the kids I'd keep them posted this evening at 3 o'clock when I just had figured everything out, and we'll regroup on Monday and see what we have to work on.
Sounds good. Patrick, we'll talk to you tonight, and we'll find out who you're playing, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, and yeah, you talk about breaking a field in style. They haven't allowed a point on their new field.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
It is a milestone.
That's right. It doesn't get much better than that. 55-0 the final. You get the win on the new field. You get yourself into the postseason, and that means that there will be five Sangamo teams in the postseason this year. Williamsville, Moreau Forsyth, Athens, Auburn, and North Mac. The South Central are going to be sending five teams as well, Vandalia, Greenville, Pena, Carletonville, and Roxana. Mentioned earlier, Prairie State Conference will have just two representatives. Nokomis is set to play today in what likely will be a consistent rain shower, but they're already in. Got their sixth win, and the way the playoff points appear to be working out, they probably would have gotten in with five, but much better to get in with six and maybe seven.
Wood River probably is really kicking themselves after losing last night as well, because they lost to Johnsburg, who was 3-5 heading into that game, and they would have gotten in as well with five wins.
It'll be interesting to see how accurate this is, you know, because in years past when they released the the playoff clinchers and hopefuls is how they put it. It's usually pretty straightforward. Yeah. But, you know, this year it just seems strange to me because you've got the strike going on. And right now, 194 teams are in as either conference champions or at-large teams with at least 6 wins. That leaves 62 spots for teams with 5 wins. And I just keep it simple. I go to the 5-win teams and I start counting down to the 62 open spots. And when you get down to 62 this year, you land on Chicago Marine, who is 5-3, which is 24 playoff points. But they will not play their final game due to the strike up in Chicago. And that is the case for Whitney Young, Chicago Vocational, Chicago Back of the Yards, which that's quite the school name, by the way. Also Chicago King and then Chicago Military Academy, Bronzeville. All of those schools had their last game canceled because of the strike, and they were all sitting with 4 wins. Chicago Marist will play today. They're 4-4. They have 55 points. So if they win, they will be in with those 55 points. And if that were to happen, then we move up and look at Vernon Hills sitting at 5-4 with 29 playoff points, and that would be the cutoff as I see it.
There's an update on the IHSA website. 195 teams have clinched a berth in this year's playoff. There are 61 berths remaining. I don't know what the difference is.
Well, so that, check and see. That might be Simeon, because there's been some speculation with what's going on with Simeon, because they were in that boat where one of their games got canceled for whatever reason, so they weren't going to have completed 8 games. But their record was 6-1. Now, they had agreed, the IHSA, on Friday to waive that rule for Simeon and 2 other schools and allow them to be seeded into the postseason. Now, the caveat for all of these Chicago schools is this. With the strike going on, it has to be over by Tuesday night because you have to have at least 3 days of practice leading in to the playoffs. So if this strike at the CPS continues into Wednesday, these Chicago schools are not going to be allowed to participate. That's how I understand it anyway. So that could throw a whole nother kink into the operation here. As this is just I was talking about it a moment ago.
Simeon is in here. They won the conference. 6-1 record, and they were a conference champion.
Okay, because I didn't see them earlier this morning when I was looking at it, so that might be the team that was added. But let these kids play. If they have qualified for the playoffs, let them play. I mean, we talk about high school athletics, being in another classroom, life lessons, all these things. And I suppose that, you know, that the life lesson is, sometimes life ain't fair. Just, you know, just flat out, sometimes it's not fair. So with that in mind, we understand, you know, you have the rules and you got to enforce the rules. You can't be changing rules willy-nilly based on circumstance. But it feels wrong to me. You got these poor kids up in Chicago, the cross-country runners not being allowed to run today in postseason play. Some of these football teams not going to be allowed to play because of the strike. It doesn't seem right. And I know this is not the same. I know it's not an A to A comparison. But when we get to the spring, baseball, softball, track and field, state tournament's held after school's out. School's over. It's not in session. Seniors have graduated. But of course, they're still allowed to play because otherwise it would just seem very wrong. And to me, the same principle should apply here. The kids didn't go on strike. It's not like the kids are boycotting going to school. Teachers are on strike. It's a contract negotiation or dispute that happens. It happens. But don't punish the kids. It sounds like the kids are going to get punished, but to me it's not right. And again, life's not fair. Sometimes it just works out that way, but it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth to know that these kids who have put in so much time, forget this year, what about the seniors? All the time they put in over their whole lives, get to their senior year, and they can't play in the postseason because of a teacher strike. Just let them play. Let them play. But I don't know that that is going to happen. We need to get to a break. Sports Saturday back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mott.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And just to clarify, I admit Chicago Simeon was listed under the conference champions. I was looking in the wrong column there. So the extra team that has been added is not Chicago Simeon there. And Dave is going to do a quick arithmetic check here and see if the playoff point total has moved at all. Again, right now it looks like it could be 29 points. We'll all know for sure coming up 8 o'clock tonight, the Road to the Cowb, our playoff football preview show right here on WQSMI FM 106 at 8 o'clock this evening. And the point total is definitely going to be the lowest it's been in a long, long time. It was 35 back in 2015. It's been 39 two of the last 5 years, in 2017 and 2014. It was 38 last year and 37 in 2016. So the number this year is going to be lower than in years past, and I'm sure there's a number of reasons for that. I think there's fewer teams playing 11-man football this year. We saw a few teams go the 8-man route. A few schools dropped football altogether, so I'm sure that's a factor. The Chicago strike probably has a little bit to do with it as well, but it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out coming up tonight, the Road to the Cowb, 8 o'clock on WQSMI FM 106. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Tom Priddle. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And as you kind of look at the season as a whole, what was the message to your kids last night?
Just come out and play. That's what we wanted to do. They did that for the most part. We knew that we were going to be undermanned with a few key injuries here and there, and kids just getting beat up throughout the season. So that's what I asked them to do. I said, you know, in the pregame speech, I said, just come up out and do what we asked you to, or what you signed up to do, and that's play football. And you know, that's what they did, and they played from the first snap to the last snap, and that's all I could ask of them.
Tom, I thought this year, I mean, the record is the same as it was a year ago, but your team was different this year. We won't get into what happened last year, but this year you guys seemed like a different group.
Oh, absolutely, and they very much were a different group. You know, a lot of the same kids.
Right.
With a few extra sprinkled in here and there. But, you know, they still wanted to play football. The kids were all a year older and a year more experienced. Those freshmen that came out and played last year were sophomores and, you know, they had another year's experience, knew what it was like to play at the varsity seed early on in their football career. So I think that did benefit them this year as well. But, you know, every year we look to improve. We look to improve again next year. Those sophomores will now be juniors, and hopefully we'll put a good product on the field for them next year as well.
And quite frankly, for Litchfield, it's a numbers game. If you guys can get the numbers, the ship can start to turn around.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I agree with that statement, but you know, next year we'll have one junior. Currently we have one junior. The next year there'll be one senior, unless that junior class really starts to turn out. But, you know, that class in itself just has low numbers. So there's not a lot to choose from there. I mean, there are athletes in there, but, you know, the class itself is just a small class. So, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll start throwing some wins on the board for us, and we'll get this thing turned around.
And I know that I guess they'd be the group that's in eighth grade now. There's been a lot of hope tied to these kids really since they were in fourth or fifth grade, and that's not really fair because that's a lot of pressure to put on really young kids. But that is a fact that the group that will be freshmen next year, there's talent there.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of talent on that football team. I think they lost one game, maybe two this year. I'm not real sure of their record, but yeah, there is a lot of talent on that football team, and we look forward to getting them up in the fresh soft level next year, and getting them intermingled with the next year players, and see where we can take them.
And I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, thinking about next year, but we saw last year you had to play a lot of freshmen. Would the hope for you to be that this group that's coming in next year, that they don't have to be at the varsity level?
Well, that is the ultimate goal, and I think everybody's dream, but we don't know that yet. And you know, I for their sake, I do hope that that's the case. You know, I don't want to bring them in and discourage them because, you know, they are a talented football group, but then again, they'd be playing guys that have already been in the weight room for 4 years and, you know, matured for another 4 years on top of them. So, you know, I don't want to get anybody in there and get them discouraged from playing because, you know, that can happen after you get beat up for a few seasons. But, you know, I think everybody's goal would be to have a true freshman team, fresh off team, JV team, and a varsity team. But you know, I have to have about 80 numbers for that to happen for us, I think.
And, you know, as we kind of project things and look at things, there's potential that 2 years from now, the kids who will be seniors, the kids who were freshmen last year, they could wind up being one of the most important groups of athletes Litchfield's had in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough about that group of kids. You know, what they did last year for us is, you know, basically they were against a rock and a hard spot, and they chose to take on the rock and the hard spot. And, they did well. You know, Blaine Stewart, as quarterback, looks, you know, at this point it looks like he may be taking over the reins after Clayton Walsh graduates, but and he looks good. He looks real good. So, you know, we had Colin Becker hopefully coming back, you know, a wide receiver who was doing great things as a wide receiver for us this year. So, you know, there's talent on that football team as well. And once we start putting it all together with the addition of the incoming freshmen and stuff, the good things are going to start happening for us, hopefully.
And that's the fact. It will happen. And when it does happen, it's going to be very sweet.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Tom Priddle, thank you so much for a few minutes every time this morning, sir.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
The head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Tom Priddle, and it will get turned around. I mean, everything goes in cycles, and when you're in the midst of a, what is it, David,
37
game losing streak, it's a long time. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. That's a long losing streak, and it can wear.
And there could be some draft. I mean, it will see you depending on what the numbers are like for the squad next year. But there could be some drastic improvement next year because those kids that were freshmen last year will be juniors.
Well, that's exactly right. And I look to the year after next, which coincidentally could be the first year of districts.
Yeah.
But when that group who was freshmen last year will be seniors, and then the incoming or the current eighth graders will be sophomores, that could be a year for Litchfield.
That will be a foundational year where you start to build what your program is.
When you get down with your numbers, like Litchfield got down, and you play in a league like the South Central Conference, it takes a lot to get off the mat.
Yeah.
It just does. And Litchfield, they'll keep their nose to the grindstone, and they'll keep working, and they will get it turned around here at some point. So,
hey, I got about 29 as your playoff points, about where Vernon Hills is ish on that list.
Okay, so that the list we had before still had Vernon Hills kind of as the last team.
Now, Chicago Marist playing today is going to shake that up.
Assume they win and go to 5-4. They've got 55 points. So that would bump, am I looking at it, that would bump Vernon Hills out and make Havana the last team in, still with 29 points, but more opponents' wins.
Right. You're correct.
It's fun stuff.
I don't know about Chicago Marine. Are they a strike school?
Yes.
Okay. So then they're probably out.
And they only got 24 points anyway.
Right. Well, I was going to say, if they would have played today and won,
right,
they could have gotten
a strike.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for Sports Saturday. Nokomis plays Colfax Ridgeview today. 1 o'clock kick in Nokomis. The Skins look for win number 7. That could drastically change their playoff positioning. The road to DeKalb, 8 o'clock tonight. David, myself, and Dan Newkirk will have the playoff pairings for you as they're released here on WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.